May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In our story today, we heard about the man Jacob, who was running for fear that his brother would kill him, because Jacob had tricked his brother out of his birthright. So Jacob ran and was afraid. And night came, and he went to bed, and he had an amazing dream where the Lord came to him, and he saw angels going up and coming down a stairway, and the Lord at the top of the stairway. And the Lord told him, "I am with you always." And when Jacob awoke, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." To a modern ear that knows something about the Lord, that may sound strange. Did he not think the Lord was there? Where is God? Everywhere. To a modern person, a definition of God is that he's everywhere. But in the ancient world, in Jacob's day, he thought of Yahuwah as a local God, someone you could perhaps run away from and hide, like his brother, someone you could run away from. And so when he discovered that this was the place of Yahuwah, of the Lord, naturally he built an altar and said, "This must be the gateway to heaven." And in a sense, he was right. Wherever the Lord is a gateway to the heavens. Where two or three are gathered together, the Lord is there. And that is a gateway to heaven. Jacob thought he was alone. If he had looked around with his natural eyes, he would not have seen two or three or any, just himself. So he thought he was alone. People often feel like they're alone. Even when someone may be in a crowded room, they may still feel alone, that no one else really is with them. But if their spiritual eyes could be open, as Jacob's were, they would see angels ascending and descending, and they would see the Lord. The Lord is always with us, as are his angels, especially when we feel like we're alone, running in fear, and in a state of spiritual sleep. Have you ever seen a sunrise and thought, "Wow, my God, what a beautiful sunset or sunrise"? Literally, saying out loud to the Lord, "Wow, what have you created? What an amazing thing." Maybe you had a feeling like that at your wedding, or at a funeral, or at your child's birth. There are many moments in life where something shakes us out of our everyday obscurity and gives us a sense of awe and wonder at the Lord. A moment of clarity. And that the next day we may completely forget about. That's the moment that Jacob is experiencing. A temporary moment of true enlightenment where he sees with his spiritual eyes the truth that he is not alone. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And then he says, "How fearful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of the heavens." Now, for Jacob, when he was afraid, we are told that Jacob was not a very nice person, was not a very good person. He was a very, very natural man. And when he thought about God appearing to him, he thought he might be destroyed. To him, gods and angels were powerful, scary, dangerous things. And we read about that kind of fear in Arcana Celestia. It's holy fear, but it's still the holy fear that comes through hell. It's a lesser fear. It's a fear that God might destroy us, or it's a fear that we might go to hell. It's useful, but it's not the fear that angels have. But Jacob was right. This is a fearful place. And the place that we're talking about is that state of awe and clarity. Listen to this from Arcana Celestia 3:7-8. In general, the more love anyone has for what is good and true, the more fear he has lest what is good and true will suffer harm. And listen to this. Though the less that fear manifests itself as fear. We on the natural world have a problem really understanding what holy fear is. The way we understand fear is by physical analogy. Knocking of knees, chattering teeth, a chill up one's spine, darkness, worry, a bad camera angle, little tricks, screechy music. That's how we communicate fear. Natural things. Walking from your car late at night and imagining someone behind you. It's a natural fear. This is describing a spiritual fear that is not manifested in the body in the same way. But we don't know exactly how it's felt. But we know it's felt differently. And we can get an idea of how it's felt by knowing a little bit about emotions. All fear, all emotions, are the result of love being stirred. Holy fear, as we read, is the result of a love for what is good and true being threatened with harm. Imagine that you love a person, and somebody threatens that person with harm. You might feel angry, you might feel sad, and you might feel afraid that someone could hurt that wonderful person. That's holy fear, inasmuch as you are loving the good in that person. If you are afraid for a child, and you look at a child's innocence and say, please, may nothing happen to that innocence. And you feel fear at the harm of innocence. That's holy fear. It still feels like darkness at night and a chill up one's spine. But it's a spiritual fear. But the more one loves good and truth, the less like natural fear this feels. Angels in heaven are not worried about good being harmed. They don't want it to be harmed, but they're not worried about it because they know that the Lord is in charge. And they know that their primary job is themselves. The harm to good and truth that we should all fear is the harm that we may do good and truth. It's the fear that a parent might have that maybe they might mess up being a good parent. Or it's the fear that somebody at work might have that maybe they won't do a good job. But angels are confident because they love the truth and they love good. They know that they will do good, that the Lord is with them. Because for them, that momentary state that Jacob has is continuous. That moment of awe and wonder where you see the Lord is surely in this place. That clarity that the angels are with you, the angels have it always. So their holy fear is felt as wonder and awe, not as a chill up one's spine. Imagine that for a moment, the wonder and awe that you might feel at something beautiful in nature or wonderful in your life, something miraculous. That's the state of wonder that angels continuously live in. That momentary feeling is a gateway to heaven. We're taught in the book Conjugal Love that the first fires of romance are kindled so that later a couple may look back on that fire and get an idea for what heavenly marriage is all about. Looking back on their wedding day and getting a feeling that maybe that temporary state when we were young and natural could be eternal and spiritual. That is the same as the wonder that Jacob felt and that we can feel when something strikes us and moves us from a state of obscurity to a momentary state of clarity. But what are we to do to hold on to that clarity? Jacob teaches us. He got up in the early morning and took the stone that he had placed for his pillow and set it up for a pillar. He creates an altar to the Lord. And he vows a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me, the Lord shall be my God." So when that moment happens, and it may happen again, acknowledge who created the sunset. Acknowledge who brought in that moment of clarity. Be grateful. Set up a temple in your mind for that moment. Store it away and say to the Lord, "Hold this in my mind. Make this a house of the Lord." And then you may promise him something. And this is the most important thing that Jacob says in this story, which is why it comes at the very end. "And all that thou, Lord, shall give me, tithing, I will tithe it to thee." Now, Jacob literally meant that he was going to give a tenth of all the good things that the Lord gave him. But Jacob knew that everything good was from the Lord. So he was going to give a tenth of everything to the Lord. And that's our job, to recognize that these blessings are from the Lord and to give a portion of it back to the Lord. And we do that by loving the neighbor. It's what the angels were doing with Jacob. They recognized that all good is from the Lord, and so they were bringing Jacob up to heaven, ascending and then descending. They were helping Jacob see a moment of clarity, and we can do the same. Make a pillar to the Lord. Ask the Lord to put an altar in your mind to remember those moments of clarity, but then share the enlightenment with your neighbor. Be an angel. There are many people in the world who feel they are truly alone because their spiritual eyes have not been opened. What makes something spiritual is something guided by a love of the neighbor. Spiritual eyes are merely the eyes that love the neighbor. When the Lord opens those spiritual eyes, he's opening our hearts to love the neighbor so that we may share with them the glory that is the Lord. And perhaps they may come on their own with the Lord's help to another moment of clarity. And then they may say, "Surely the Lord is in this place." Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.